Good morning. Welcome to Mid-Morning. I'm Catherine Lanfer. Not long ago, we talked with State Senator Dick Day about his proposal for a state-owned casino somewhere in the metropolitan area, a suggestion that drew quick criticism from the Indian nations who have their own casino businesses here. Well, now there are several new legislative proposals. There, Senator Doug Johnson has proposed a jointly owned casino between the state and Indians. And Phyllis Kahn and Jim Rhodes, both representatives in the House, have said that they'd like to see a casino at the airport. It would only be open to travelers, they say. And because of its location, it wouldn't hamper business at the other casinos in the state. Well, officials at the Indian Gaming Association aren't buying it, but we'd sure like to know what you think about a new way to handle your two-hour flight delay. We're going to talk today to Representative Jim Rhodes. He's a Republican who represents St. Louis Park. He joins us in the studio. Thanks for coming by today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, what exactly are you and Representative Kahn proposing?
Well, there are many casino bills starting to rise to the surface this session. And hers is a rather unique one in the fact that it would be located at the airport, and the users of the casino would be people that are ticket holders that have boarding passes, and that would be their entree into the casino as long as they're adults. The idea came to her because she said that there's a one similar to this idea in Holland. And she thought that this would not interfere with people feeling that we are competing with the other casinos. And most of the people that would be utilizing this casino would be travelers.
You know, I want to get back to the specifics of Representative Kahn's idea that I understand you're helping to co-sponsor and bring about discussion on. But as you yourself said, there's a lot of casino proposals floating around. Now, we have a big brouhaha going on over university funding, Minsky funding, education funding. People will tell you regularly that our roads are crumbling, that we need to worry about the infrastructure. What is so compelling about casinos?
Money. It's just that simple. The people have indicated to me that we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue for whatever proposal they have. As chair of the Government Operations and Veterans Affairs Committee in the House, one of the other duties we have is we also oversee all the gambling issues. And it's my idea to hear all these proposals and to actually discuss them over the interim, over the summer and fall, and take them out around Minnesota. I think that if we have evening meetings that people from the state would like to talk to us about it on both sides of the issue, and I understand it's controversial, and I understand there's two sides to the issue. And we feel that this proposal, as well as the others, should get a their hearing and should be out in the public before we actually decide how we're going to move.
But what sort of questions do you think Minnesotans should be asking themselves about all of these different casino ideas?
Well, I think the two sides of the issue would be, on one hand, you could say we could generate a lot of money. We could fund education. We could fund roads and bridges and even the University of Minnesota and some of the those types of things. In Foxwoods Casino, which is the largest casino in the United States, in Connecticut, it's my understanding that 25% of the slot revenue from slot machines, 25% funds the entire Connecticut education system. And so that's very tempting. On the other side of the issue, you will hear the argument that is an expansion of gambling. Do we need to have more gambling? The tribes have finally had a chance to raise some money and build things that we didn't do as in the United States here for them, and they have, and this is their day to have a little income coming in, actually a major amount of income coming in, and they should have that to themselves. So that's both sides of the issue, and I think that's why it needs to be discussed, and it needs to be discussed not only in St. Paul, but it needs to be discussed out around the state.
Now, who would run and stack this airport casino that you're talking about?
The way the bill is initially set up, it would be through the lottery offices. As you know, in Minnesota, we have a lottery, state-run lottery, and it's and those people that run that would run this.
And explain to me again how a casino at the airport is somehow not going to have an impact on the business at all the other casinos owned by Indian nations.
Well, because I would suspect that the people that go to the casinos now are mainly residents of or tourists that are in Minnesota, this would be strictly for people that are traveling to and from and with a stop in Minneapolis. If somebody, I suspect, wants to buy a ticket and use that as an entree to the casino, they could, but I think that that would be highly unlikely. More people than not are going to be sitting at the airport for a layover of whatever time they have, and they're going to run in and maybe have a few slot machines and put a few quarters in.
I was going to say, now how are we sure that that will actually be the case? One of my understandings is that, for instance, the lottery says, well, we do our biggest sales at the terminal, but in part that's because there's like a community of 10,000 people who work at the airport. According to your plan, those people aren't going to be the ones who'll be able to go in and use the casino. I mean, what exactly are we banking on? What study, what previous experience, what other casino in the United States at an airport?
There is none at an airport. What Representative Kahn has designed is that to get into the casino, you have to have a boarding pass or a ticket. That's the entree into the casino. So at the door, it's just not going to walk. You're not just going to walk in if you happen to work there, if you happen to just want to drive out there and park at the airport. You're just not going to get in.
Right, but my point is that if that previous gambling experience, if we go by this the sale of lottery tickets, it was probably employees, not travelers who purchased those. What makes you think that someone who's struggling to make an important meeting is going to duck in there for an hour?
That's a fair question. I would tell you that the lottery sales are probably not only employees, but probably travelers as well. And they're sitting there and they figure, well, I'll buy a lottery ticket for $1 or $2 while I'm sitting here. But I think the lottery ticket issue is not the same issue as a casino. I think the idea of buying a lottery ticket is not the same as going up to a slot machine or sitting down and playing blackjack.
How much profit do you expect to make from this airport casino?
That is something we don't know at this point. Obviously, we don't know how big it would be. This is all just the beginning of where we're at. But I can tell you that the figures that are thrown around for casino profits are extremely large. Now, I would probably have to say that this would not generate as much income as having a freestanding casino in downtown Minneapolis, St. Paul, or at the Mall of America, or wherever.
You know, officials at the Minnesota Indian Gaming Association have said, look, even if you only let ticket-bearing customers into this particular casino, it's still an expansion of non-reservation gambling, and it makes it that much easier for the next proposal that comes along. People say, oh, well, we already have one off the reservation at the airport. Why not do another?
They are correct. That's why we're going to take it out and debate this issue. I think this is what part of the discussion item is. Once you start a casino, you don't know how many more could be down the line. And the fact that we are seeing all these casino bills this year tells us that there is some type of force that people want to at least look at the issue. There's a gathering of folks that do want to discuss this issue, and I think that's what it's all about.
All right. Now, Senator Day's proposal for a state-owned casino would have sent the money to schools and roads. Your profits would go where?
We haven't got that far down the line yet. And that's something, as people know in this process, when a bill is introduced, it is amended down the line as it goes through the process, and a lot of this has to be worked out. So we aren't sure where the money would go. But there would be money to go someplace.
There's a lot of phrases thrown around among these different casino proposals: state-owned, state-operated, state-run. What exactly would this one be?
This would be state-owned and state-run.
All right. We are talking to Jim Rhodes. He's a Republican state representative from St. Louis Park. He's co-authored a bill with DFL State Representative Phyllis Kahn that calls for building a casino at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. We'd like to hear from you on this topic. It's 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828. In the Twin Cities, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Now, what about the concerns? There's a couple rote arguments it seems we always need to hit on whenever we talk about gambling. And, of course, one of those is, why should the state become involved with something that is a compulsion, is actually an addiction for many people?
You know, I hear that a lot, but in my other life, I work for a nonprofit, and we get people out of credit card debt. And some of those folks are gamblers, but some of them are shopaholics, some of them are alcoholics, some are have other issues that they are dealing with. And we don't shut down retail, we don't shut down the bars. And so I think, and I would say that part of the money that's going to be raised out of this is going to go for that that issue of gambling.
Well, if we aren't that concerned about the ill effects of something, and we know it generates a lot of money, why don't we go into the brewery business? Why don't we make cigarettes? Why don't if we know that things are going to make money, let's go for it.
Well, actually, we do tax cigarettes,
but I mean,
and we
I
do
think,
have a tax
and
there's taxes on bars.
There's a distinction between taxing something and actually owning and operating.
Now that's a fair argument, but and that's one of the discussion items. I can't give you. I think that's a legitimate question to ask and a legitimate question to discuss. But we do, as I mentioned, we do somehow manage to tax all these things. And so I suspect that we can certainly look at that, too.
Do we have any estimates yet on how much it would cost to build this casino?
No.
Okay. And where would it be?
Somewhere in the airport facility at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. It would be on one of the levels, and it would...
More construction at the airport. The state salutes you.
at least this isn't tying up parking issues, although I suppose they could build on top of a parking ramp.
We're going to go to Bill. He's calling us from St. Paul. Bill, welcome to Mid-Morning. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I just have one quick comment, and that is that I think it's a good idea, but my question is to build a casino at the airport, but my question is broader than that. And it is, why do we allow one particular ethnic or racial group to have a corner on a particular industry or business in the state? I mean, we don't say that only African Americans can own liquor stores or only Korean Americans can sell cigarettes. Why do we say that only Native Americans can own and operate casinos? Why is that not a business that is open to everyone in the state to open and operate and tax heavily and thereby let the state collect revenue from the efforts of entrepreneurs of all racial groups?
Well, Bill, I want you to stick around, Representative.
Bill, good morning. That's a fair question. My understanding is, and this goes back before my time in the legislatures, is that this deals with the federal government giving permission on their land and dealing with a compact that was put together sometime, I believe, in the 80s. And this was the compact, this is the agreement that was written for Minnesota. Other gaming casinos in other states that are on tribal lands have different agreements and different compacts. And as I mentioned, at Foxwoods, 25% of their slot revenue pays for education. I believe in Wisconsin they get some money out of it. Our compact is not that way.
Well, I also think, and I would like to hear Bill's response to this as well, it strikes me, we had two different representatives from two different Indian nations in here to talk about casino gambling about a month or so ago. And one of the points they made was this isn't as if a group, a particular race or ethnicity, has been given the right to have gambling. It is, in fact, another nation. These are indigenous people who were here. It isn't as if we have said, oh, the Hmong get to do this or African Americans get to do this. We actually are dealing with another nation that we've had treaties with for the last couple hundred years. This is literally the latest in that series of treaties that we're dealing with. And that is, in fact, isn't it a misnomer to say, oh, we're giving a race, we're giving an ethnicity something, when in fact we're dealing with another nation?
That is correct. And in all fairness, not every casino has the income generated by those that are close to the metropolitan area. And a lot of the casinos in the outer parts of Minnesota, they need that money to build infrastructure that the federal government never was able to provide for them. Sewers and hospitals and schools and roads and that type of thing as well.
Now, Bill, I'd just like to get your response. Does that partially answer your question?
Yes, I will confess to ignorance on the background of treaties or the legal agreements that have existed. I accept your answer.
Okay.
But let me make another comparison.
Yeah.
Cities You can look around town here, Lakeville, St. Paul, Edina, own their own liquor stores and compete with private entrepreneurs who are also in the liquor business. And I guess I would see the casino at the airport as something no different than that. And if the state can generate some revenue from it that can be used to offset or to avoid increasing taxes in some other way, I would be in favor of it.
Okay. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Let's go to Clay in Minneapolis. Clay, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Oh, good morning.
Hi.
A couple comments. First of all, it sounds like easy money again. And we always want to go where, gee, it's real easy to get some more money out of this population. Instead of, and I'm surprised coming from a Republican, supposedly a fiscal conservative, just looking for easy dollars, and taking that in a way that's not the most healthy to our society. And so that's bothersome to me. And we'll just saturate this thing until we suck every penny out of it. The second thing is Native Americans have been abused by this country for years. We've moved them off the East Coast, out of the Midwest, and onto reservations. And they do have a way to generate money now. And I think it's absolutely right that they do. And more power to them, and I think we should protect that right. The third thing is, if this was such a great idea, why not just put a casino over at the University of Minnesota, and we take care of their financial woes, too?
Okay, you betcha. Hey!
Fair comments. That's the other side of the argument, and I think that's why we want to talk about it. We don't want to just react real quick. I think that those are fair statements.
Well, in fact, talk for a minute about the hearings that you envision for this summer.
Thank you. The process that I'm trying to work out is similar, believe it or not, to the process that we did with the unicameral, although that certainly is not the same issue. And that is to we're gonna have a, more likely an informational hearing or two during this session, not take a vote, and then go out throughout the state and talk to people, just like the callers that have called in, that resound on both sides of the issue and speak eloquently on the real issues there. And take it around to the state and talk to people and get a chance to see what they think. And then we'll come back next session and take a vote.
All right. We're going to go to Phil in Minneapolis. Phil, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Yes, good morning, yes.
Hi.
I think that a casino would be good at the airport. One of my concerns for bringing in more revenue, tax revenue, is if the economy keeps sliding, I'm concerned about the debt service on general obligation bonds, especially in the city of Minneapolis. A lot of people do not want to talk about this, and I think we need to find alternative ways to bring in more tax revenue, because if we do not get any job growth, which is good tax relief other than itself, we need to have other means or mechanisms to bring in tax dollars to take off the tax burden. I'm just concerned about the huge debt service, the city of Minneapolis especially. And I think a casino at the airport would be great to offset that if we have going to a downtrend in the economy. Thank you.
That's another issue I never even thought about as for local cities as well. So there is a lot of money out there in gambling. There's no question about it. And that raises the issue on both sides.
I'd like to hear your reaction to that latest proposal that came from State Senator Doug Johnson. He says he would like to have a casino that is jointly owned by the state and Native Americans, and he'd like to have it in the Twin Cities area.
I just read about it in the paper this morning, so I don't know any more about it than that, but I think that's, and I don't know if there's, so far I don't know who's carrying the bill in the House, but this is another one that we want to talk about. This is what makes this such a unique issue. We have an airport casino. We have a casino run by the state. We have a privately owned casino. Bills, all these bills, plus the new one now by Senator Johnson, are out there, and that's why we need to talk about it. And what the final version would be, if there is a final version, may be a combination of all these. We just don't know.
Let's go to Koya in Minneapolis. Koya, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hi, thank you.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to follow up on the point that you made earlier, and I think it's this common misperception as a Native person, is that the reason that we have casinos is because we are a separate nation within the United States, that we are granted tribal sovereignty and nation sovereignty. So it's like the U.S. government is dealing with us as a nation-to-nation basis, and I think that people commonly like mistake it as like, you know, Indians are getting over on white people because we have casinos. And the reality is that, like, the way that the treaties were set up and the way that our relationship works with the government is that it's like dealing with, you know, it would be like dealing with England, but, you know, we're inside the U.S. So I just wanted to make that point in response to the caller earlier, and I think you did make that point as well, but I wanted to follow up because it angers me when I hear it again and again and again. So
That's fair comment, and I would also say that not every casino generates the same amount of income as those located in the metro area.
Well, in fact, that gets back to Senator Johnson's proposal.
That's right.
There are those both in and out of Indian nations who see his proposal as divisive. He has the support of two large tribes that are in the north of Minnesota who don't make as much money with their casinos, or who don't have casinos, as compared to the tribes closer to the Twin Cities area where it's much more lucrative. So it's possible that this summer we'll be looking at a situation where you have non-Indians and the two most populous tribes pitted against the smaller tribes.
Well, I hope nobody's one group is not pitted against another group.
But haven't we? It seems to me, having now been through umpty-ump casino discussions, we get the same phone calls, and it's always someone versus someone. Someone's getting something that I want, or someone's taking something that I got fairly.
Well, that's what I call the ups and the downs. When you're down, you want to be up, and when you're up, you want the downs to be down. And that's.
So is the state really down?
No, the issue is not the state. The issue is the idea of recognizing all these factors of the fact that, as the last callers have indicated, we have tribal casinos that are using this money and need this money, and we have a need for other tax revenue that would ease the burden on some of the other issues. If you think about this is, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, what could be done in reduction of taxes or funding other programs that are right now funded out of the general fund, that type of thing, education and those types of things, it becomes a very a great issue for discussion. And that's what we're trying to do. And that's why I don't want to have a hearing and have the bill heard or passed or not passed this session. I think we have so many proposals out there, we need to take time to really go through this as a process.
Let's go to Joe in Minneapolis. Joe, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
I guess I am opposed to the state considering any kind of casino bill. I think it's a lack of respect for Indian tribes and Indian nations and their sovereignty, which they have within the federal government. This sovereignty, of course, is embedded within the Constitution, if we look back at it. Much like we have rights to bear arms, Congress also has the right to make treaties with Indian nations as separate nations. And I guess I find it disturbing that whenever the state finds that Native Americans have any kind of advantage whatsoever. Of course, historically they had the advantage of having a large amount of land. They go on and they negotiate, in quotations, to take this land away. And now Native American nations have the advantage of making money through having casinos. And again, they try to impose themselves that way. And I find the whole idea very disturbing. And I'll take your comment off the air. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Joe.
And those are fine statements, and that's the other side of the issue, and that's why we're going to discuss it.
We're here with Representative Jim Rhodes. He's a Republican and represents St. Louis Park up at the state capitol. He'll be holding a series of hearings this summer on the casino issues. Lots of casino proposals floating around the legislature this session, including one that he is co-sponsoring with Representative Phyllis Kahn for a casino at the airport. We also have, of course, Senator Dick Day's proposal for a state-owned and operated casino in the metropolitan area. State Senator Doug Johnson just recently, within the last 24 hours, put together his proposal for a joint state and Indian casino. Lots of questions that center around this incendiary topic. We'd like to hear some of your observations. It's 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828. If you're in the Twin Cities, excuse me, it's 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning. We're going to turn now to Greta Cunningham. She's standing by with the latest from the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Catherine, and good morning. Markets opened mixed on Wall Street this morning, a day after a session that saw the NASDAQ Composite Index drop below 2,000 for the first time in 2 years. The S&P 500 100 is now in bear market territory for the first time since 1990. The Asian stock market fell sharply in reaction to yesterday's losses in the U.S. stock market. Japanese investors saw heavy losses. Stocks also fell in Europe, but the losses were more modest. Motorola says it's cutting about 7,000 more jobs in its cell phone unit in an effort to reduce wireless handset costs. That would bring to 12,000 the total number of job cuts announced in the PCS unit since December. In a statement, Motorola says the move is necessary in the face of the slowdown in the economy. Pentagon officials are dispatching an investigative team to Kuwait to try to find out why a Navy jet accidentally dropped its bomb load on military personnel during a training exercise. Five U.S. soldiers and a New Zealander died in the blast. A federal prosecutor in New York will reportedly lead a team of Justice Department investigators in a probe of all 177 clemencies and commutations granted by former President Clinton. The Los Angeles Times report Attorney General John Ashcroft ordered the expanded probe. Two Space Shuttle Discovery astronauts have completed a nearly 6.5-hour spacewalk. The pair finished critical wire connections that will provide power, data, and video links between the International Space Station and a robotic arm that will be delivered soon. In regional news, health officials will announce a plan this morning to improve health care in the state. Minnesota's five largest health plans are joining to provide treatment standards for common ailments like diabetes, high blood pressure, and back pain. Officials are calling it the Minnesota model for improving health care. The forecast for Minnesota today calls for areas of light snow, light freezing rain, and light rain in the west and south this morning. There's a chance for snow showers in the northeast. It will be windy in the southwest today with highs ranging from 30 to 40 degrees. At this hour, mostly sunny skies reported throughout the region. Rochester reports sunshine and 27 degrees. Skies are sunny in Duluth and 23. And in the Twin Cities, partly cloudy skies, a temperature of 27. That's a look at the latest news. Just a reminder, Minnesota Public Radio relies on listeners to pay for production costs and operating expenses. We hope you'll do your part by becoming a member. Thanks.
Programming on NPR is supported by the University of Minnesota Morris, ranked by the Carnegie Foundation as one of seven leading national public liberal arts colleges.
The oldest taconite mine on Minnesota's famed Iron Range is out of business, and 1,400 people are out of work. I'm Rachel Reeby. Join us in Aurora for our next Main Street special. The closing of LTV Steel in this community is having a major impact, both economically and emotionally. We'll talk about it with the people who are affected. Today at 11 on Minnesota Public Radio, KNOW-FM, 91.1 in the Twin Cities.
I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning here on Minnesota Public Radio. We're continuing our conversation with Jim Rhodes. He's a Republican state representative from St. Louis Park. He's co-sponsoring a bill with DFL State Representative Phyllis Kahn that calls for building a casino at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Of course, this is not the lone casino proposal floating around the legislature this session. In fact, there is so much interest and debate centered around whether the state should have a casino to compete with those already run by Indian nations in the state, that Representative Rhodes has suggested a series of hearings and informational meetings this summer to take this issue around the state. Well, here's your chance to comment right now. It's 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828 if you're in the Twin Cities. It's 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Representative, let's go to Joseph in Prior Lake. Joseph, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. My comment is actually two, please. The first one is we've already let the genie out of the bottle. The casinos have a monopoly. It's obvious on gaming. If we're going to allow gaming, then why should we not at least let the state participate in some of the tax revenues that could be generated by it? And the second comment I have, it's related to this. I live in Prior Lake. We are right next to an Indian casino. They've had two proposals in the last 3 years to take a substantial amount of land off of the tax rolls. As these casinos get more and more popular and gain more and more revenue, they're going to get larger with their land masses, and it's going to hurt the people.
All right. Thanks, Joseph.
That's a fair comment as well. Not every casino is as successful as Mystic Lakes is because of location, and that's why Senator Johnson's proposal is interesting. And also in the mix are constitutional issues of letting the voters decide if they want to have a constitutional change to allow Minnesota to get into the gambling business.
Let's go to Linda in Cass Lake. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hello. I live in northern Minnesota, just off an Indian reservation and, 30, 40 miles from the Red Lake Reservation. I'm not Indian, and to be truthful, I do not approve of gambling. I think it's a damaging way to raise money. But given that we do have Indian casinos, let's let them have them. There are so many needs on the reservation that are not being met in other ways. It does not, if we can improve the living conditions on the reservations, it does not just impact the reservation, it impacts the entire surrounding area. I think that the Mystic Lake Casino is a bit of an anomaly in Minnesota. They are making a lot of money. A lot of these other reservations have their smaller casinos, and they are just making enough to really start doing some good. Building hospitals, I think Mille Lacs tribe is building hospitals and roads, and they are trying to benefit the local tribes. So I'd say let them have it.
Okay, thanks, Linda.
Thank you, Linda. And that is what I talked about earlier. That the not every tribe has a Mystic Lake type of casino, and that a lot of them do use the money for building infrastructure. And that's what makes Senator Johnson's bill, which, as I mentioned, just read in the paper today, kind of unique.
Let's go to Mark, calling us from Hastings. Welcome to Mid Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay.
The question I had was, I don't necessarily have a problem with a casino one way or another, but I was wondering why it was chosen or why it is being chosen for the airport as a location. Just looking at it with all the other problems such as traffic in the area and the traffic a casino might generate outside of general airport use.
That is why it is at the airport, because this would only be for travelers that are in the airport. It wouldn't be open to the general public unless they want to buy a ticket to get a boarding pass to go into the casino. That's what makes this proposal very unique. And when we talk about being competitive, this would deal with more than likely tourists and travelers, business travelers that are passing through the airport.
Let's go to Reno in Minneapolis. Reno, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Well, thank you. I think that the siting it at the airport is kind of a clever idea, because one of the things I'm concerned about living in Minneapolis is that when I hear talk about a state-run casino, I imagine some big mega casino operation, and I don't like to think about it being put in Minneapolis. I don't think very many people would like to think about it being put in their neighborhood. I think that they should probably look at, if they want to do that away from the airport, make a string of little ones like franchises, and I would suggest put one at every major intersection around the 494, 694 loop, and then they could be done with it. But the other thing that I wanted to comment on was your comment about the sovereign status of the Indian nations. Well, that's true. It's also true that if Canada or Mexico or somebody was to say to us, look, we're going to legalize gambling, so we don't think you should have any casinos. Well, first of all, it's hard to even imagine that kind of conversation taking place with any other sovereign state, and we wouldn't recognize it. But we do recognize it from the Indians because of the special status that they have, the sort of moral debt we feel to them. But they are nations which you can't join unless you can't be a member of that nation unless you are of a certain racial stock. So while it's true they're sovereign nations, it's also true that it's because of their race.
Being a bit of a history buff, I would tell you that they were actually here first, and that's what gives them that special status.
Let's go to Harry in Little Canada. Harry, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you for taking my call, madam.
Mm-hmm.
What I fail to fathom is how much further do you want to drive these people, I mean, off their land, into their land? Where do they go now? If you take away every means of livelihood or every means of support they have, where does it stop? Is it just white man going to conquer till there is no red man or black man anywhere on the planet?
That's the other side of the issue. And one thing about being an airport casino, we would not be actually taking business away from them unless somebody had long enough layover to want to rent a car or take a cab out to one of the look closer casinos.
Now, it's, you take a call like Harry's here in which he says, what is this? White man wants to wipe out everyone on the planet. And that stemmed from a discussion on an airport casino. I mean, obviously, these dialogues, these conversations get heated very quickly. How do you see yourself shaping the hearing system, or how do you see these conversations taking place? Or, in fact, are we in for a bout of therapy for the state to come to terms with its relationship to these Indian nations?
This is why I want to take this very slowly. This is why I want to take it out and talk to people, because we will hear. We will hear both sides. When we had bills before us last session dealing with Canterbury Park, some of this conversation came up as well. And this is why it's important to not just have a hearing and take a vote and just pass a bill, whatever the bill may be. I think this is exactly why each person, each author of one of these bills, Senator Johnson's bill now, or Representative Kahn's bill, or sorry, Representative Bishop's bill, or Representative Hackbar's bill, all are unique and different. And I think this is why we need to discuss this issue. And there has been quite a movement to start talking about casinos this session.
Let's go to John in Prior Lake. John, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you. I have gambled at a casino. Well, not a casino, but I have gambled at an airport in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So if you want to know about gambling in an airport, you have to go all the way to South Dakota, not very far at all, and ask them there. This was just a small, like four or five, either slot machines or video poker, I don't remember which, at a little bar across from my gate. I was waiting to see if I could get on a standby flight home to Minneapolis, and basically I didn't have a book with me, so I stuck a few dollars in this thing to pass the time. The one comment I would make about the experience, I wouldn't have walked anywhere to do that. I wouldn't have gone to something that was in the main part of the terminal or atop the parking ramp. I think you could put the slot machines in the little bars that are scattered throughout the airport. And I don't think you'd have to worry about checking boarding passes or something. All you'd have to do is make the slot machines a little more expensive, return a little less percentage, and people won't go to the airport to gamble, just like they don't go to the airport to have a drink, because the drinks are a little bit more expensive. But people don't leave the airport when they're already there, to save a dollar on a drink.
Tell me, before you get off the air here, tell me a little bit more about the casino or the slot machines in South Dakota. Are you saying that they have several locations in the airport there?
They have video poker in South Dakota. John, go ahead.
Sorry. I don't know. All I remember is I was at my gate waiting to get on my flight, and I was flying standby, so I was sitting there sort of, tapping my feet, looking for a good way to pass the time. And this bar that was, within sight of the gate had four or five of these slot machines sitting in it. And I went in there and, spent a few dollars in this thing basically to pass the time. And that's why I remember it, because it was very useful.
Well, I appreciate the call, because this is something that we were not aware of.
Representative, I have to ask, I'm not a legislator, but if you're a citizen listening to this, one might assume that before someone proposes a piece of legislation that could put a casino in the airport or a casino in the Twin Cities, that there would be tons of research that would have been done.
Representative Kahn would be the one. This is her bill, and I'm not trying to pass the buck on her.
Right.
But we had talked about, she knew of the difference is that this would be, instead of having a slot machine at every bar at the airport where the employees and the general public could actually park and go in there, this would be strictly where you'd have to have entree into the facility just to gamble, and it would be a boarding pass. This is a little more unique than South Dakota. She may know about this one or not. I did not know about the one in South Dakota. I'm just trying to get this issue out before us.
And why are we waiting until this summer to have hearings around the state?
Why not? What is the rush? Why do you want to have a hearing now and take a vote on a bill without actually going out and talking to the public about this? I think it's just the opposite. I think that's exactly what we should be doing, is to go out around the state of Minnesota.
Would some perhaps argue that this is what the legislature is for, to air ideas, to have people come to the Capitol to talk about things?
Well, not everybody can come to the Capitol, mm-hmm. and if we're gonna, and that's the one thing we found even in the unicameral discussions is, especially in the evenings, mm-hmm. a lot of people work and they want to talk to us, and it's us. I think it's up to us to go out to them.
All right, we're going to go to Graham in Apple Valley. Graham, welcome to Mid Morning.
Good morning. Hello, sir. Prior Lake experienced an increase of police services about two or three times due to the casino. Would there be a similar sort of increase at the airport, and who would pay for that?
That if there would be an increase and remember, this would be in a much more controlled environment, then part of the proceeds of the casino would have to defray the costs of the airport police.
Let's go.
Remember, when we have mm-hmm. the casino and it's the way we set it up, we can work on these types of issues.
Let's go to Mike in Buffalo. Welcome to Mid Morning.
Good morning. My question is, why put a casino in an airport, our airport, if your whole reason for putting it, getting a state-run casino to begin with, is to generate revenue? I can't imagine a casino that can be played by the general public's going to generate a whole lot of revenue. It seems a little ridiculous to me. It seems a way to get around the complaints that we're stealing revenue from the Indians. This is one way to appease that part of society. I don't get it. I wish you could explain that to me.
I think you just basically answered the question in your comments. This would be a strictly controlled, if people are worried about the expansion of gambling and for Minnesotans, that the people that would be using this would more than likely not be citizens of the metropolitan area, and it would be based on the tourist revenue, much like we have other tourist revenue. And it's an idea that amongst others, that is up for discussion.
Let's go to Bill in Minnetonka. Bill, welcome to Mid Morning. Hi, Bill.
Thank you for having me on the show. Mm-hmm. One of the points is that you had mentioned that this would just be money at the airport that would be generated by tourists. One, I think probably 50% of the people that are there are residents of Minnesota flying out of Minnesota. And I don't think the legislators realize the millions of dollars that are being sucked out of the economy of this state by places like Mystic Lake Casino down here. And I find it particularly interesting when we're running the kind of surpluses we're running that the state would now want to get engaged in sucking more money out of the economy when they've got plenty of money right now.
That's the other side of the argument would be is that we could reduce other costs. We could... the money is generated could do so many things, and these are just ideas off the top of my head. We could reduce the sales tax in half. We could cut property taxes substantially. We could totally fund education. We could build our infrastructure that is starting to fall apart, our roads and bridges and types of things like that. It's money that would be spent for this instead of other things.
Let's go to Steve in St. Louis Park. Steve, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hey, St. Louis Park. Great for calling.
Well, thanks for taking my call. My concern today is hearing all this talk about sovereignty. In my understanding of all the treaty rights and so forth, there is no mention that there needs to be an absolute monopoly. As a gambler who's traveled to Las Vegas and other cities who offer public gambling, what I see is a healthy competition. It seems that the payback ratios are on track there. When I go to Mystic Lake Casino, it seems like because they do have a monopoly, they do not have any incentive to adhere to the prescribed payback ratios. And I for one, believe that a little competition is essential and maybe would help the Indian casinos begin to act in a more fair way.
How is there no competition with the number of casinos we already have right now?
Well, actually, it's a monopoly, is it not?
Well, no, I guess my point is, can't one casino change its payback ratio as compared to another casino?
Well, actually, because the metro area really doesn't have any others than Mystic Lake. So, in essence, in the regional area, they do have a monopoly. And I see that if you take $20 and go to Mystic Lake, you'll be there for about 10 minutes.
You know, I thought that Treasure Island competed with Mystic Lake.
Well, that's not really very close. That's quite a ways away.
But if you wanted a better payback, you could drive, right?
Well, I think the issue here is fairness, and why do they need to have the monopoly?
Okay.
Whenever a monopoly exists, there's problems.
One of the things that we have found is that your comments actually brought out is that Minnesotans are big gamblers. We have a lot of people here that go to Las Vegas. I understand it's one of the biggest tourist spots for Minnesotans to go to Las Vegas. Always has been. It seems that Minnesotans do like to gamble, and the numbers indicate that they are gambling.
Let's go to Tesha in St. Paul. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hi. I think you've talked a lot about the state having a bigger share in gambling, but the state does have a share in the sense that Indian gambling and casinos, they create a lot of regional development in areas that otherwise were economically deprived, and they create jobs and they pay taxes and they fund infrastructure in those areas. And I just wonder if a state-owned casino would really have a greater economic benefit for the state.
The issue of economic benefit would be if the state had a casino or ran a casino, the money they are talking about income-wise to the state is quite substantial.
She mentioned taxes. Now, isn't part of the debate over exactly what kind and how many taxes the casinos pay?
That starts the debate because they pay very little in taxes, but they do hire a lot of people, and they do have a lot of employment, and they are major employers in their areas. And
so payroll taxes.
Yeah, there's that type of thing as well. But I think what the average citizen is probably saying is that what we don't even get a little piece of the action, I guess, is the gambling term, like they do in other states. But I don't want to go down that pathway, because I think then we start to talk about some of the comments that were brought out, you know, who should have and who should not have. All we want to do is say that with this proposal, we're limiting the attendees. With Senator Johnson's proposal, it's a different idea. We're giving the money back to a lot of the tribes that he has talked to. With the constitutional amendment proposals, with the state-owned or state or having it privately owned and the state get a percentage, these are all the different proposals with all different kinds of revenue streams for the state of Minnesota.
We're going to go to Bruce. He's calling us from Orono. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Great show, Catherine. As usual,
Isn't she good, by the way?
She is awesome.
This is really I'm not trying to patronize her, but this is really fascinating stuff, and she's a quick learner. She learned all about casinos really quick. I suspect maybe we should ask her if she's never been in one.
Morning routine every day.
Okay, all right. Let's tax them.
The question is, Catherine, you've been to a casino.
As a lifelong Minnesotan, I have to say, what a sad commentary that we have to resort to gambling in this state as a state entity to fund education. Okay, given that, and given that we have a governor who thinks that education is a, quote, black hole, if we're going to do it, let's do it. Put a casino downtown. Think of the revenue source. We could probably even fund that stupid stadium out of this deal. Let's do it or not do it at all.
Okay.
You know, you raise an interesting question about, and I'm not into the stadium debate, and I don't want to go there, but somehow this starts to get linked with that as well. Interesting.
Okay, let's go to Roseanne calling us from Albert Lea. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hi, thank you for your call.
Uh-huh.
Or for my call. I just wanted to say that I lived in Kansas City for a time when this was an issue with riverboat gambling, and I visited some years later, and the areas that were poor were poor. The pawn shops grew, and overall the economy was no different than it was before. And wherever it went to, where the money revenue went to, I don't know. All I knew is it went out of the pockets of the poor. And I just want to say that let's get on better issues. Let's look for the common good, and that gambling never does do anything for the poor. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Thank you for your comments, and that's a valid point, but I would have to say that I'm not sure everybody that goes to gamble is poor.
We're going to go to John in Stillwater. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Good morning, Catherine. Am I on?
You sure are.
Okay. My point is, I don't believe we should have a gambling casino down at the stadium. We shouldn't have gambling at all, but as soon as we do, and we have a sovereign nation that has gambling, what is the comments your person would like to make there on a sovereign citizen in the state of Minnesota that has patented land that's non-taxable and that is sovereign land? What if this individual wanted to start a casino? Can he do that?
I'm not sure I'm tracking what your question is. Are you saying can anybody just start open a casino?
If they are a sovereign citizen? Indians are sovereign citizens.
I think it has to be on a reservation.
It has to be on a reservation.
It has to be on a reservation.
That's my understanding.
Okay, so if I had land on a reservation and I am a sovereign citizen, I could open up something. Is that correct, even though I'm not an Indian?
I think you deal with your tribal councils on that, and I'm not that familiar enough to tell you where to go on that type of idea.
Actually, I think you have to. It has to be on tribal land, and you have to be a citizen of that nation. And he was just saying, you know, if you're not Indian. So, well, I think there's going to be very few cases of that in any event. Let's go to John in Woodbury. John, welcome to Mid-Morning.
Good morning. I'm wondering if the committee would be willing to take a look at the original purpose of the Federal Indian Gaming Act and then try and derive maybe a state policy that would ensure that whatever reason the federal government gave casino gambling to Minnesota Indian tribes could actually be fulfilled. It seems to me that some areas are using the money for infrastructure, for hospitals. Others are simply giving a paycheck every month to individual tribe members. I'm wondering if the committee could actually develop a state policy. What is it that we want to happen in Minnesota? And could we actually fulfill the original purpose of the Federal Indian Gaming Act?
Okay.
My understanding is that every tribe decides by their leadership through their electoral process of their leaders of how they're going to handle this this issue of where the money is going. Every tribe handles it in a different way.
Michael and Chanhassen, we're down to seconds here. Can you be speedy?
Yeah. My name is Michael. I grew up in Nevada, and I just want to alert the listeners to the mass amount of social problems that a casino brings to an area. It's something you really need to look at and seriously consider. To that,
tick off the problems really quick. What are you talking about?
I'm just talking about you have an increase in poverty. Earlier caller talked about pawn shops, an increase in crime.
Okay, that's a good list to start with, Representative.
Well, keep in mind that with this proposal of Representative Kahn's in mind is the fact that this is at the airport and it's dealing with people that are just passing through, as they say, coming and going and having layovers. So it's not dealing with the public that are actually just driving over to gamble.
All right. We're down to about 40 seconds here. Describe for us when these hearings are going to start, when you envision them starting around the state.
My plan is to have the first set of hearings while we're still in session, this session, and then take them out sometime in the months of probably early summer and then into fall.
Okay, let's have a short, snappy answer to this one. Is a casino inevitable, a state-owned casino?
I don't know.
All right, Representative, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Representative Jim Rhodes, he's a Republican from St. Louis Park. He's co-sponsoring a bill with DFL State Representative Phyllis Kahn that calls for building a casino at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Hopes to have a series of informational hearings this summer on the casino debate. I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Minnesota Public Radio. Programming on Minnesota Public Radio is supported by